Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Douglas is one of many who found a new life through Seattle's Union Gospel Mission.
I was living on the streets when I heard this guy talk about how he got clean and sober at the mission. So I decided to give it a try. I could feel something working inside of me, and I knew I was getting better. Today, my number one goal is to stay clean and sober.
And grace will lead me home.
To hear more, volunteer, or donate, visit ugm.org.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and look out for the column, because we're at the fountain. Don't know where you leave off, but we'll be laughing all the way to the bank. But if this is for Susan, then sing Rita's song to break it up. What's the dirt? Don't look now, but what if I cannot hear the city? What I can do is smell that sweet success. Joining us today are the usual JJs who can get you in, including Kevin, one-track mind, Jaeger.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true.
Kimberly, our welcome to the night game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello. It is daylight.
It is daylight. Maybe throughout this, we'll see the sun go down. But
make sure my window's in view.
Fair. And with us today is the owner of LSG Public Relations and an FSU alum.
Yes!
Let's give a big broad-waisted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Lisa Goldberg.
FLORIDASTATE. Florida State.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Of course.
Now, Kevin, did you go to FSU?
I did.
Oh, how did I never know this?
I don't know. I didn't know that you went there yet. I was a 2007 graduate. I went to the School of Voice.
Yeah, me too, 2007. Yeah.
That's crazy. We were in college at the same... That's amazing.
No,
we were not.
I went with it. I was going there.
You really played that.
I appreciate it.
That was very your brand, Kevin.
I tried.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. We're super excited to have you. I feel like there's so much we could possibly talk about. But first, as we always talk about, what are you drinking?
So I guess in honor of Florida State, I'm doing a little, now I forgot the name of it. Hold on. See, this is what happens during a pandemic and drinking and no food. I'm doing a little Redneck Riviera. So I'm doing Tito's Vodka and Crystal Light. Thank you.
Nice. Beautiful.
Yes.
Great.
Kevin, we'll stay in Florida. Kevin,
I have to go get mine because it's in the freezer.
Oh. Kimberly, what are you drinking?
Oh, just a gin and tonic with a splash of mango margarita mix.
That's your new thing. What's it called?
Oh, should I name it?
Well, name it and then put it on Instagram with all the other stuff you're putting on Instagram.
Oh, that's true. I just keep calling it Everybody Loves of the Mango.
Sure.
Because apparently I'm the only one that loves that Chris Kattan sketch.
I love mango. Kevin, did you like freeze a bottle of Hudson whiskey?
Yeah, I got it like the beginning of quarantine and drank a good amount. And then I forgot that I had it until today when I finally ran out of frozen vegetables. And so I saw it there and I was like, oh, I have whiskey left. This is perfect. We have broad wasted. So I'm going to drink some of this Hudson maple cask rye whiskey.
That's really good.
That's amazing.
That's nice.
I went back into our office to clean out my stuff.
My gin.
So I have all your gin, which I'll get to at some point, but I got all of our cups. So I'm have my with this waitress cup, and my new thing is Milagro. Well, that's not my new thing, but I love using Milagro tequila. What I do is I do Milagro tequila, some lime juice or fresh squeezes of lime, and then whatever seltzer I have on hand. Right now it's peach seltzer, so that's in here, and then every once in a while I'll throw something else, like a little spicy, maybe jalapenos or something in there, but right now it's the peach seltzer, Milagro tequila, and the lime juice.
Yeah. You guys are schmancy.
We try. Cheers.
Cheers.
So let's start with, what's your favorite musical?
Of all time?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That's like an impossible question.
You could break it down by category. We will accept that.
Well, okay, I'll say favorites. Original Ragtime for sure. One of the greatest things ever. I mean, I think like really Les Mis, like original Les Mis, you know, when sure. I was a kid. I think City of Angels is one of the best shows ever.
Oh, I know. And not to be a downer, but they just closed the London production, which was supposed to be incredible.
Yeah, I heard that. But I also saw David Zippel tweet that it may or may not be closed now. So,
oh, really? Oh, good news. I think that's a
TBD. Yeah, I think that's TBD. Kiss of the Spider Woman is another one that absolutely love. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think those were my top.
Those are
and
great.
Memphis is one of my favorite shows.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Those are, I don't know if anyone's actually ever said Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, we've talked about it on this show. I love it. I don't know. I forget if you've actually seen it, Kevin and Kimberly.
No, I've heard the music. I love it, like from the album, but I
it's so good.
Oh, it was so amazing. And, yeah, and it was just like Cheetah and then Vanessa Williams with like Stokes 12 of the hottest ensemble chorus boys in the history of the land. And for me being a straight girl, at that time, I was very involved with that chorus line.
But so let's go back to what you do now. You're in PR. We all hear the words PR. We all think we know what PR is. But like, can you do a little like rundown of this? I guess even pre-pandemic, current pandemic, like what your responsibilities are. Kind of talk through. We've never really talked about that side of the business here on Broadwasted, and we'd love for you to frame it a little bit better for our listeners.
Sure. I mean, in the most simplest terms, it really is anytime you see an interview with any kind of actor or creative or even now producers, anybody with an interview online or a podcast like this or on a television show or on the talk shows, any of that is done by a publicist, whether it's a publicist for the show or if we're talking about TV and film, you know, it's a publicist for the network or the studio, or it's a personal publicist like me. And, you know, they used to call us publicity agents. So, you know, I think that helps explain a little bit more, but there's not a way in general for someone to have an interview without a publicist behind it in some fashion.
Mm-hmm. Now,
normally.
Now, the two types you talked about are kind of like a publicist for an individual, regardless of what project they do. Like they kind of hire them as like for their brand, who they are. And then there's the like company publicist or something like that, like a brand publicist. Can you go into kind of the differences of those two and kind of what would
sure
how that works?
Well, every Broadway show has a company of publicists that work for the show as a whole. So they are technically hired by the producers and working for the producers. And their job is to promote that show as a whole as much as possible, not necessarily one individual specifically over another. Whereas if you're a personal publicist, like you said, you're hired by an individual to only promote them and their brand. That doesn't mean you're not also promoting the project that they're in and mm-hmm. the Broadway show that they're in. But your goal is to, if somebody is going to be on the Today Show for representing that show, you know, you want it to be your client versus sure. someone else in the show. I mean, yeah. it's just the way it is. And the good personal publicists, you know, are very close with the show publicists and work side by side. And it's a team effort. 'Cause, you know, in theory, anything we do as personal publicists helps them out as the show as a whole being promoted and vice versa.
Sure. So you have done a lot. And we wanted to talk about some of your coolest experiences in this PR world. Like, what are some memorable experiences which was an opportunity given to you through what you do? You know, whether it's specific moments or just an opportunity to meet someone you thought you'd never meet, things of that nature. What has really stood out in your career for you?
Gosh, I mean, I've been really lucky that I've done a lot of cool, and I'm going to curse here on purpose so Carmen gets a shout out. Hello! let's see. I mean, this is going to be so obnoxiously name dropping, though. You've just set it up.
No, I set you up.
Obnoxious person.
So I will take responsibility. Any name drop in these next stories is 100% my fault. I'm taking responsibility.
Ryan will catch each name drop.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would have to say I had the privilege of being able to go to the White House 4 separate times during the Obama administration. With both Chad Kimball and Montego Glover.
Cool.
And that was amazing. We got to meet the president multiple times. I have multiple pictures with him and with Teagues in it as well. And there's kind of one where, you know, you go through this line and you're shaking hands with everyone. There's a White House photographer there who snaps a picture of each of you as you go through. And Teagues went through first and got hers, and I was right behind her. And so there's kind of a great picture that I have framed and used a lot, that where I'm shaking President Obama's hand and Teagues is like photo bombing the Carmen out of it, behind it. And just this epic smile behind me. So it's almost like you can't help but just look at Montego in my picture. Shaking hands with Obama.
That's amazing.
But I would say also, like, again, this is Montego. We've kind of had some really great times. You know, she was on the committee for the Kennedy Center Honors for years and would take me as her plus one. And growing up, that was one of my favorite things I look forward to watching on television every year. So I was thrilled to be able to see it in person at all.
Cool.
Never mind the first year we went, it was something like, I have the thing. It was Led Zeppelin, Buddy Guy, Dustin Hoffman, David Letterman, and Natalia Makarova. So it was
Damn.
As if somebody had said to me, you know, who are the 5 people/band that you would want to meet in person and just hang out drinking with and partying with and, you know, shooting the blank with? these would be it. Like, it was the most amazing experience. I mean, we were, you know, hanging out. We were hanging out with Jimmy Page in the hotel bar.
Wow.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it's like it was the most fun, craziest celebrity bar mitzvah weekend you've ever been to.
That's amazing.
That's such a good way to put it.
That's awesome. So let's play a game.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, and just so you know, you had, I think I counted 9 name drops. If you include Jimmy Page as an individual, even though you said it kind of doubled, but I'll count it as two, so that's nine.
Okay, great.
10 if
I mean, I'm sure I can get at least 40 more in if we need
10 if Kennedy counts.
Oh my goodness. I figured we would just play a little round of Dirty Hands on a Hard Body.
Great.
Which is a categories game. So we will go around with a category. You have two virtual hands on a table. And then sort of rapid fire, name things in that category. If you stumble, mess up, repeat, you get one hand up. If you have two hands up, you're out.
Okay.
And then it ends.
I might as well just put two hands up right now.
No, I'll go first. The first category is names that you just dropped.
Oh, but I won't remember.
No, we'll just start with musicals with one word titles.
Yeah. And then we're all in a different order on each other's screens. So my screen would go Brian, me, Kevin, Lisa.
Okay.
If that works for everyone. Okay.
I get to be last. Fantastic. Okay.
Great. And Brian, you start because you're the like top square on my screen.
Sure. Annie.
Memphis.
Hamilton.
Ragtime.
Titanic.
Wicked.
Oliver.
Yeah, a hand up.
You get to pick a category.
Oh, because I screwed up, I get to pick category?
Mm-hmm.
This is a forgiving game.
Then I'm going to go back to Brian's original category, names I dropped in the previous segment.
Yes.
Great. No. Okay, it has to be a musical theater one.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be musical theater.
Can be anything.
Okay. A favorite pandemic food?
Oh, yeah, great one. Brian, you begin again.
Oh, sure. Oreos.
DiGiorno pizza.
Good one.
Chips and salsa.
Hamburger patties.
Cheese.
Chicken patties.
Chinese food.
Ooh, chicken nuggets.
Mozzarella sticks.
Ooh, disco fries.
Peanut butter and a spoon.
Good one.
I totally eat that. Okay, any fries whatsoever.
Tacos.
Sourdough bread.
That's for sure.
Only if you made it.
I did.
Banana bread.
Yeah.
Gluten-free cookies.
Carrots.
What?
Yeah, like, you dip in hummus? I only want to use one.
Sure. Someone already said cheese.
Yes.
All of my vices have been named. my turn.
Mm-hmm.
Musicals. I'm just using our Twitter feed for inspiration. So musicals with a place in the title.
Oh my God, I'm going to be so bad at this.
I feel like I will be too. So I just really screwed myself here. Oh, Kevin, you start.
All right, I start. Brigadoon.
Oklahoma.
Fiddler on the Roof.
Light in the Piazza.
Shenandoah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Well, now you choose for us.
Okay. For you guys, let's see. Favorite leading man in a musical? Favorites. Can we do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wait, so are we doing characters or actors?
Well, I was going to say actual actors.
Cool.
But we could do characters, except for I'll be like, you know, it was the guy in the...
He has this song at the top of act two.
We can do actors.
Oh, do I start?
Oh, Brian starts.
Okay.
Yeah. But you have two hands up now, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm out. Sorry.
Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Oh, so I was going to say. He's all of our favorites.
I know.
Jason Danielli.
Norm Lewis.
Michael Cerveris.
Joshua Henry.
J. Armstrong Johnston.
This is a stretch, but Harvey Fierstein.
I love it.
Yeah, that's good. He went 20 for it.
He did.
Yeah, on the Tevye track, Alfred Molina.
The Tevye track.
Hugh Jackman.
Oh, good one. Nathan Lane.
Yul Brynner.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Wilson.
Good one. Norbert Leo Butts.
So good.
Robert Moore. I'll use the show cards to my left.
No, you probably filtered out all of those.
My hand's up.
Okay.
My brain just went blank.
Well, Kevin, now you choose.
Category is Disney animated film female villains.
Okay.
Sure.
Does everyone have a hand up?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Maleficent.
The Evil Queen.
Cruella DeVille.
You're on a first name basis.
Yeah, I was like, I have to.
Mama Murphy.
What?
I don't remember Donna Murphy's character's name in Tangled. Oh, Gothels, Lady Gothel. Damn, it's too late, but damn.
Mother Gothels.
Mother Gothels, yeah. Okay.
I love Mama Murphy.
Mama Murphy.
Mama Murphy. Oh my God, we all have one hand up, so let's just do one for the win.
Yeah.
Sure, and if you get, like, we keep going even if you go out. Yeah. Okay, So I choose biography jukebox musicals.
Oh, God. Okay.
Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Summer. The Donna Summer musical.
Sure. Ain't Too Proud.
Jersey Boys.
Three.
Hair.
Two. One. No. All right. Come back to me. So now it's... So now it's just me and you.
Oh, it's Tina Turner.
Tina, I'm going to use Tina.
Oh, no. I can only think of All Shook Up, and I know that that's not about
this. Yeah.
Oh, but it's not a biography one, though.
Right.
About Brian Wins.
Oh.
You missed Cher? Or $1 Million Quartet. Those are the two I had in my head before I had the full. Cool.
Well, that's hard body.
That was fun. That always is fun.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I know you've seen a million shows. It doesn't have to be your favorite one, but do you have a favorite experience seeing a show, whether it was one specific show, performance for a specific reason, or whether it's just a show that you didn't know anything about and just left you breathless, even though you may not rank it in your favorite shows that we talked about earlier?
Yeah, it was more recently, actually. I went and saw Three Tall Women. And I had never read it, and I really didn't know much about it. I am ashamed to admit. And so I went in pretty blind, and we were sitting on the very front row of the theater. Ooh. And that was such a tiny theater. So we were on top of, the actors. And I was so prison shanked in the gut over that play that I was hysterically sobbing towards the end. Sure. To the point where Laurie Metcalf looked at me, because I was right in front of her face, name drop. And she was she pointed at me and was like, "I know." The person I was with was like, "You have got to get it together. And, you have got to go to the ladies' room or something." I mean, I was hysterical. And then I cried for about two more days after that show. I've never been that moved by something.
Well, conversely, Kevin and I saw that in the last row of the theater.
We did. I had the same kind of experience.
Well, I mean, I was Charlotte St. Martin's plus one. So Miss St. Martin hooked me up with a good seat, and then I proceeded to sob all over.
That's a good friend.
That's amazing.
That's a great one.
Can you talk a bit about how, because we hear a lot about how actors go to school or sometimes don't, and they go straight to auditions and then they build a career. How did you get onto this path of PR and everything that you're doing now?
Well, mine is an odd one. I was actually a dancer doing Broadway shows, national tours, all that before this. I went to Florida State on a dance scholarship and minored in voice. And all I ever wanted to be growing, I was a very serious ballet dancer growing up, but also studied voice and acting. And all I wanted to be was on Broadway. And I quit school after my sophomore year and moved up to New York when I was 20. And booked my first national tour about 6 months later, which was a tour of Oklahoma, which is why that's the only one I knew. But so I was working for quite a while, and then, life happens, and I got sick for a while, and I couldn't dance anymore. And when I finally was well again physically, a couple of years had passed and my agent had moved on to somewhere else, and I had turned 30, and that's kind of old in dancer years, old-ish. And I wasn't in the same shape, obviously, that I was when I was performing professionally. So I went to a restaurant where a friend of a friend owned it, and I was going to wait tables while I figured out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And he hired me on the spot to be PR person for the restaurant with zero experience. I mean, I was always a good schmoozer on my own behalf, but I didn't realize that that would translate into a job. Mm-hmm. And so I started with the restaurant. And from there, I grew with a second restaurant and started working with Saturday Night Live parties. And actors started signing on. Martha Plimpton was one of my first actors. I met her at a Saturday Night Live party and she signed on. And that was almost 14 years ago. And so completely self-taught and branched out from there. And luckily, I like it and hopefully I'm good at it.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Can you talk about the pandemic hitting? Just the day Broadway shut down from a publicist point of view. We've talked to a lot of actors about what that day felt like, but did you have more of a inkling that it was coming? Because I'm sure...
Or anyone. I don't know. I mean, so my last big night out was North Country opening because I have Mark Kudish and Kimberlane Sprawl in that cast. So we had a big night that night, and that was on March 5th. That was like a week, exactly 7 days before the shutdown. And we ended up, you know, going to, and at that point they were saying stay 6 feet apart from each other. I mean, nobody was wearing masks or anything, but the whole thing had kind of started. And of course there was no way to stay apart from each other inside the theater or at the party or any of that. Sure. But I know we were all half joking, but also very concerned when we got into cabs and went into Westway Diner at 1 o'clock in the morning and no one was there but us.
Wow.
And we were kind of passing the ketchup bottle at the table in our elbows, you know, half joking, but not.
Sure.
And just the whole atmosphere seemed like, okay, is this really going to happen? Or are we going to be okay here? You know, you had to like, it was like 50-50 of being terrified or am I overreacting? I kept saying to myself, like, well, they can't really shut down. If they shut down, it's going to be a couple weeks. Like, they can't, you know, I didn't realize the severity of the virus for sure. And I thought, you know, maybe we're going to all be out of work for a month tops, but there's no way in the history of the world that Broadway or anything else could shut down longer than that and cut to, you know, 4.5 months later. Mm-hmm. But I was supposed to go see Montego pops up again, closing night of her off-Broadway show, All the Natalie Portmans, on the 12th. Mm-hmm. And that was the day of the shutdown. And everybody shut down except for her show went on with their final performance that night.
Oh, wow.
I did not go.
Mm-hmm.
I had started freaking out at that point. It was like, I gotta go to the grocery store. You know, I don't know. Like, I don't have food. I have to go buy enough, you know, hamburger meat, for God's sake. And Montego was very cool about it. It was like, yeah, I totally understand. But so that was, I mean, that was it. I was still pitching people. I had people on retainer through, I mean, most everyone stayed on retainer through the end of June. I mean, you know, it was still always kind of a thing of, well, this isn't going to go on another month or this isn't going to go on another month. And there wasn't a whole lot being said about it as far as anything being canceled, so to speak, mm-hmm. or a new opening date. So we kind of went on as business as usual as much as we could.
Sure.
That's probably a bad answer, but it was the truth.
Oh, yeah.
No, that makes sense.
We said...
where everyone was.
Yeah, from that side.
Yeah, I mean, I was in my 400 square foot studio, at which I have been sitting in for 4.5 months.
We're in a very similar boat, my friend. A very similar boat.
I mean, what's with all these people with second homes and friends with empty beach houses?
Now is when you like
cars.
Really
like who are
look
these?
At where I am.
Yeah, Kimberly's at her parents' beach house right now.
To be fair, they're here too.
Well, see, there's the trade-off, though. And I right. love my parents. I talk to my mom on FaceTime like 6 times a day. But I cannot be sitting in a house of any right. of any manner. I couldn't be on like the south of France in a house for 4.5 months with other people, especially, you know, family.
But could you spend 4 months in Tuesdays in the corner with
Kevin's corner, and that was a good segue, Brian.
Thank you. I can't wait to sing it together in person one day because it's it hasn't gotten better.
No, we just can't. We don't connect. So, welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I have some zany questions for you, and today is based on your name. So it's a either or situation with different leases.
Okay.
So who would you rather go to lunch with? Lisa Kudrow of Friends fame or Lisa Marie Presley, daughter of Elvis and former wife of Michael Jackson?
Oh, Lisa Marie Presley.
Why?
Well, I didn't know there was going to be a follow-up question.
I will take that as an answer because that was a very PR way to answer that. Dance a duet with Lisa Bonet of The Cosby Show fame or Lisa Ling, the CNN host and a previous co-host of The View?
Oh, Lisa Bonet, for sure.
Oh, she has the moves, for sure.
Yeah, and she's like married to Lenny Kravitz. Come on, that's like,
oh yeah, he just
a lot of cool factor there.
Who would you rather be handcuffed to for a day? Lisa Rinna, actress and TV personality, or Lisa Marie Barron, the retired professional wrestler and bodybuilder and WWE diva known as Victoria?
Lisa Rinna. I'm a Housewives fan.
Oh, yeah. She would be fun. You could go shopping with her. Like, that would be super great.
Also, hello, Harry Hamlin.
Oh, yeah. That's totally worth it. Who would you rather jump on a trampoline with? Lisa Simpson from The Simpsons or Lisa Turtle from Saved by the Bell?
Lisa Simpson.
Yeah, she'd be way more fun to hang out with. Who would you rather give it all up with to move to the country and run a farm? Would you rather do that with Lisa Lampanelli, the comedian, or Lisa Loeb, the singer of Stay, I Miss You?
Lampanelli, for sure.
Yeah, she'd be really funny. And then, who would you rather share a Ziploc baggie of goldfish crackers with? Lisa Leslie, WNBA MVP 3 times and 4-time gold medalist? Or Lisa, oh lovely Lisa, who gave new meaning to the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
Okay. I would have picked the NBA star, but that is one of my favorite lines in Kiss Me Kate for obvious reasons. And when they did Kiss Me Kate on Broadway last year, I was involved with it because of Warren Carlyle. And oh, yeah. Every time I was singing in rehearsals, every time Will Chase sang that line, I just raised my hand.
Man, that was a good production.
And that's been Kevin's Corner.
Thank you, sir.
That was fun. Let's ride the wave. Should we play another game?
Yeah.
You know, I had a different name for this game, but now it's just going to be called Name Drop. That's a better name. It can go on for ages. Basically, I have my deck of Lights of Broadway show cards.
Yes,
and it's a trivia game. So each show card has some trivia on the back. I will randomly pick a card and I will read the first sentence of, or I'll read like the, did you know, the little fun trivia questions. Cool. And then you can all try and dig in to name drop who it is.
Okay.
Let's see. Do, 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 do.
I already know. Oh, yes, second best.
But these did you knows are weird.
Shows. So some shows, some people.
Okay.
Okay. Did you know? His first performance at the Hollywood Bowl at the age of 8 in 2002 was as Winthrop opposite Kristen Chenoweth's Marion in The Music Man.
Oh, it's he was on the show.
What show?
Our show?
No. He was definitely not.
Is it?
Oh, I was thinking of that redhead who was like 19. Nicholas Barash.
No, he was accepted to Columbia University, but postponed to finish his Book of Mormon contract.
Ben Platt.
Yes. Okay. Did you know? Oh, wait, that's funny. She reads the audiobook versions of the Sue Grafton Kinsey Milhone alphabetical series. I don't know what that means.
That's her did you know?
Yep, I've never heard that.
No.
Where does Justin get all this information?
I don't know. That's a great question.
That is the question here.
All right, I'll read the first sentence.
But I also, for a second, was like, who's Justin?
All right. Notably created the Tony-winning role of Carlotta in Phantom of the Opera among her dozen Broadway...
Oh, crushes. Judy Kaye.
Correct.
Boom.
Yay. Okay.
Good for her being an audiobook situation on the side.
I know. After appearing as a series regular on the CBS drama Cold Case, she returned to Broadway in Stickfly in 2011. She recently played lesbian next door, Dr. Charlotte, in the revival of Falsettos.
Tracy Toms.
Yeah.
Ooh.
She's played lesbians. Hmm. She recently played a lesbian next door after also playing a lesbian lawyer. Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think we have to call Squiggs and just say we need to know where you're getting your
information. Yeah, this is amazing.
So who's curating the back of these cards?
I love it.
All right, did you know she did every version of the 2000 musical Susie, from its very first workshop and readings to the Broadway Boston tryout to the original Broadway cast?
Wait, what was the show?
Susicle.
I have no idea.
The other did you know? She's the only Avenue Q Broadway original cast member to originate her role on the West End.
And Harada.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who we saw, who was wonderful in Holiday Inn at Paper Mill.
Yeah.
But now I know Brian just wants to talk to her about Susicle all day long.
Hell yeah.
Oh, this is a place. Did you know? Numerous events are held here throughout the year, including the Broadway Flea Market, Broadway Barks.
Schubert Alley?
Yeah.
Boom.
That's cool. Fun. I've had
Schubert
this card.
Schubert Alley has a card?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay.
All right. Did you know? He was reunited in 2011 with Hugh Jackman, and Hugh Jackman back on Broadway after working with him in Oklahoma and London and on Broadway.
Warren Carlyle?
Yeah.
Well, he's one of mine.
Yeah. Okay, did you know? Apropos to his turn in the a cappella In Transit, he took part in USC's premier vocal group, the SoCal Vocal. He also played Drew in the first incarnation of Rock of Ages. That's something I never would have guessed.
Constantine?
No.
Oh, the first incarnation.
After making an auspicious Broadway debut as the title role in Crybaby.
Oh, Snyder.
Snyder.
I always forget he was Crybaby.
Wow.
He doesn't look like Johnny Depp.
He also doesn't look like a Crybaby.
No, he looks like he works at the Peach Pit. He's going to kill me, but I call him Peach Pit because he looks like he was on 90210.
That's amazing.
1000%. Okay. Oh, these are all. Let's see. Did you know, as of opening night of the prom, he has, this is sad now, he had 4 shows running concurrently on Broadway.
Casey Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on a roll.
Truly.
I'm in this game.
Did you know he left Columbia University his senior year to originate Simba in the Lion King tour and finished his degree when he returned to New York for The Color Purple?
Is that Jelani?
No, older. He was Tony nominated in his debut as Harpo. He has originated portrayals of real life men, Ray Charles, Haywood Patterson, Barry Gordy, and continues as UB Blake.
Oh, Brandon Victor Dixon?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
I didn't know he was in Lion King.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
He's not Simba on the tour.
But now we know.
I know.
Okay, 2 shows and we're out.
Okay.
Did you know? Rehearsal scripts show her line was originally "Count before you start, Louise," instead of "Sing out, Louise."
Gypsy.
Yeah.
I can't decide if it was Gypsy or if it was Mama Rose. Like, is it the character on the card or is it the show?
It was the show. Got what it. A weird count before you start, Louise. I guess it's harder to teach a kid to come in on the wrong beat than to teach them to be quiet.
Seems like it was a good edit.
Yeah.
But it was probably because the kid couldn't figure out how to not come in on time.
Right.
Like, it was not for writing purposes. Okay, did you know? Despite its short run, this show has gone on to be one of the most performed shows in the country, thanks to licensing for regional community and school theater productions.
I mean, that could be quite a few shows.
What,
yeah.
I mean, anything else?
You know, choreographer Kathleen Marshall's brother, Rob Marshall,
was brought in as an uncredited director after the Boston tryout?
Young Frankenstein?
No. Oh, of course, Seussical.
Brian, you were in this show.
I love that show. I love Seussical.
All right, that was name drop.
Yay!
Yay!
Then at least one.
Yeah, definitely.
I did.
Well, that brings us to the end of our episode.
Oh.
Thank you so much for joining us. This was super fun.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, of course. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
Thank you.
You can also find us on social media at Broadwasted. Join our Patreon, our Facebook group. Kevin runs that. It's super fun. You can find Lisa on Instagram and Twitter. You can find all of her stress over FSU games and all that kind of stuff. So, and where can we find you again on social media?
It's Lisa Goldberg PR.
You can find her there. Or as Kimberly always tells me, just search for them. They'll come up.
Just look for her name.
We always end with a quote, and this actually is from Twitter. You posted a video that I've watched probably 100 times. The lady's improving, removing all doubt. She has hidden charms that are sure to come out. You're bound to discover the book's not her cover, so don't make a move you'll regret. No, I'm begging you, sir, no reneging on her. Don't give up on her yet. That's the ladies improving from the prom. I've watched that Bette Level video that you like got permission to post, like her last performance of that, so many times. It brings chills to me every single time I watch it. It's spectacular.
Yay, I'm so glad. Yeah,
we loved that show.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, I love the show. I love Beth more than anything in the world. And I can't watch it without crying. But I mean, that thing blew up. It was crazy. And then I had people actually coming at me a little bit.
I'm sure.
I bet.
But
thank you so much for joining us. This was super fun. We really enjoyed having you. And we really like talking about the other side of things that we like never talk about. So that was super cool. But as we end every episode, we raise a glass and we say, Zudua.
Well,
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.